This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Open Line Fun Sunday. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
Well, here we go. Yes. Last hour.
Last hour, man. It's always crazy how we get here. It feels like it goes by so fast.
I know. It is crazy, isn't it? This early in the morning time flying by like that. Kind of the way the rest of my day is probably going to go. Flying on by.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, cool. Let's get to our phone lines. And we do have some lines available if you care to get in. This is our last hour. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 713-572-4610. All right. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm great. We just pulled up to Bluff Landing. We're just going to try to get our line stretched.
Bluff Landing.
Mm-hmm. Made the trip from Houston. I was listening yesterday and today, and y'all were talking about that canal that's connecting the Trinity River to Lake Houston.
Yes, sir.
The Lucy Bayou Canal.
Uh-huh.
I was an inspector out there.
Were you?
And I was over from Capers Ridge to the lake. And one problem they're having out there is that pump station on the Trinity River has been flooded, three times, I think, now?
Yeah.
They're going to be like 2.5 years behind schedule, from what I understand. I wasn't over that part, but
right.
From people I know that are still out there, they're having contractor trouble, and you know how it goes. So it's going to be a while before that thing gets up and going. When it does, they have 2 96-inch lines that's going to pump up over Capers Ridge, and it's going to be gravity fed all the way down to the lake.
Mm-hmm.
One problem, because I was out here when Harvey hit, and they only have a limited amount of areas for the natural flow of water to cross that canal.
Right.
I think they have 23 siphons, and most of them aren't but like 200 feet long, so it's probably going to be worse flooding wise. There's no way for the water to cross that canal except for in those little areas. And, I hate to see another big event like that come through.
Man, I just hope I don't live long enough to see that again. That just, that's nuts. Everybody after Allison, remember the tropical storm that came in and then button hooked back and sat on top of us?
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, man, we'll never see that again in our lifetime. And then all of a sudden here comes Harvey, which blew that away by biblical proportions. That was just nuts.
That was crazy. I live in Carthage up in East Texas, and I was down here working, and I was staying in Cleveland at the time, and it was an island. I couldn't get out for a week.
Oh, no. It was pitiful.
It was crazy. But that I didn't know if y'all knew that that wasn't a flood control canal. All that is a supply.
That's a supply. Yeah, that's supply from Trinity River to Lake Houston for drought conditions, you know, for water supply for the city.
Right. And, exactly.
You know, years ago, when we were in those drought conditions, what was that in, you know, 6 and 7 and 8 years ago, Mike Williams and I were talking about that one day on a Sunday like this about, you know, with all this wasted water that comes down these big watersheds like the Trinity River and the Mississippi, it's amazing they can't contain that somehow or pump it from that area over to another area that needs it. And then then this came up, which was, I think it's a brilliant idea, especially for extreme times. And, and I'm surprised there's not more of that going on throughout the country, you know, in these areas that are so drought-stricken and needing water so bad, you know, from areas that have an overabundance of water. And, you know, unfortunately, that's where we're at. There's so many people now, you know, we're just so overpopulated in a lot of areas.
One other question. When you're going to be at the boat show the first day, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be there all week. Yeah, I'll be there all 5 days.
Or when are you and Flog and Hillman going to get
The opening day, March 4th, we'll be doing a clinic on at 6 o'clock Wednesday evening.
Okay. Cool. I'm going to get there and check that out. I went fishing with Flog once, and he's a hoot.
He is. I don't know what else you can say. That covers it all right there, buddy.
Well, all right. Well, we'll fix on unload the boat and get out of here. So I was just going to call and let you know about that canal.
Well,
so
I appreciate it.
They're going to be down a while from what I hear because they're having some big contractor trouble now. You know, I think all the flooding's kind of ran some people off. So
The rains we've been getting consistently every year for the last 5 years, so it there's no need in it right now, but there's going to come a time when we're going to need that.
That's true. Maybe it'll raise some pressure, and you know, so because I fish up Trinity Bay a lot, and it stays dirty, and you know, fresh and stuff like that. Maybe it'll lean that out.
Oh, I know.
Too.
We're due for some good times back in T-Bay again, man. It just, I've lived on that bay all my life, and I've never seen a five-year stretch like we've had. Never.
It's crazy.
Even the old-timers. And, you know, they all brought that up, you know, when they built Lake Livingston and said, man, this is going to change a lot of things in our fishery. And I'll be darned if they weren't right. And, you know, even that spillway they put up there, you know, the HL&P back in the day, and now it's Reliant, but that changed a lot of it just changed everything back there, the way the fish patterns and everything else. They became more susceptible to the outfall there when the water flows, you know, when they're pumping, and it draws those fish in there, but it takes away from all the other great, you know, fishing areas we had back there where we had consistent fishing day in and day out, and now they're dead zones,
right,
so to speak. And I remember old Peyton Shelton, he was a big-time fisherman on Trinity Bay, lived on it. He lived right down the road from me, one of the old-timers, and he even mentioned that. And he's the only guy I ever knew that would drive out a 7 and 8 pound trout every cast to go catch redfish. He loved chasing them reds, man. But anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you have a good day. We're fixing to get out here and see if we can't catch us a good trout out here. So.
Well, I wish you the best. Y'all gonna wade fish or fish out of the boat or what?
We're gonna try to wade. If we have to, we'll get out there and fish.
Yeah,
and we'll get to fish in the boat. And, buddy Cameron, he wants to know. He knew you was out here earlier this week and wants to know what y'all were using.
Oh, that's real simple. We narrowed it down to pink was the color. You know, the week before, watermelon with red flake,
right,
and purple were the two best colors. And then this week, it was pink. I mean, original pink Corky or a pink Little John, you know, whether you were wading or out of the boat, either one. And those bigger fish were real tight early. And once the sun came up, you know, you could see those fish just gradually roll out deeper. And then we'd drift fish later, you know, to get out there where the bite was. Now, the first day we spent all day in shallow because we had that good foggy overcast. And those fish stayed in there tight against the bank. And there's fish all up and down that King Ranch shoreline.
Start out early in there real tight. Yeah.
And then out deep, drift anywhere where you got sand meeting grass. That, you know, later in the day where the hard sand bottom would meet those grass lines, that's where the better fish were, right on the edge of those grass lines. And unfortunately, we had east and southeast winds where you couldn't drift down them. You had to drift into them, and you didn't have much time on them. You know, you'd hit them, you'd hit a good lot of them.
I think that's what we have today. It's going to be a south, southeast from 12 to 15. So.
Oh, that's perfect for there.
So we'll see. We'll
that's
see.
Perfect.
Well, I appreciate them.
All right, you hit that north side over there, man. There's a lot of fish all up and down there. And, man, from 6 feet to 3 feet of water, you know, drifting in. I mean, you'll get all the bites you want, bud.
Well, we're going to try
16th ounce or 8th ounce jig heads.
That's
all right,
what
man.
Got.
I wish y'all the best. Good luck to you, and I hope y'all catch them up, man. Be safe
out
there.
Have a good one.
Hey, we're going to do it. Thank you, man.
Okay.
See you. All right. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on Open Line Fun Sunday. It is 517 in the Bayou City. Phone lines are available. I'll give that number out again, 713-572-4610. All right, let's go to Guitar Dave. He's up next. Dave, what's going on?
Hey, man, I heard Ray, he was talking about, you know, when they built Lake Conroe, was it completed in 73?
I think so.
It had to be. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because that's what I was thinking, because, see, let's see, when I remember when we were fishing, we were going up there to Stubblefield Lake before it was built, and my grandpa and my dad, and he had a 68 Chevy, just like the one Jim, the orange pumpkin he had. It was the exact same model with the wooden bed and everything. We were sitting on the tailgate watching the bulldozer. But, man, I tell you, On the first map I've got of Lake Conroe, they actually mapped out where, like, cemetery was or this was or that was or, you know, different structure that was there when they were digging it. And, but, I mean, I remember up there when we were fishing at Stubblefield Lake Park, that one lady in there, the goat lady, she was a squatter, and she had, like, hog wire around there, and she raised goats, and man, that's a legend there. I'm dead serious. She was there for a long time. You're talking about in the late 60s, I guess. But my dad, he always, when we finally, whenever it got dug and everything was going, we'd go over there and trot line fish, and we'd get, he loved the channel cats. He liked the flavor of the channel cats better. And
yeah,
he taught us
better.
How to look between a V-tail. It's got a V-tail with some little speckles on the belly. On the channel cats, and then the blue cat is just pretty much flat tail with blue with a white belly, I guess, you know. But that was good. And then I got some news. Last night, my assistant commander, he's a real veteran up here at the American Legion. He told me him and his wife and his daughter, I think we're gonna get to go see Willie Nelson at the rodeo, man. I'd be like, wow. You know, that would be a really cool thing. And then they're wanting to make me the assistant commander. I mean, I'm they're wanting to make me the commander of the Sons of the American Legion because I wasn't there. And I told them, man, dude, I got enough to do already. Let me just get the feel of the irritant. I mean, the adjutant, because right now I'm the adjutant of the Sons of the American Legion. And I take care of them over here, but we're doing really good. So, hey, Captain, the show sound, man, I've been listening to it. I've been learning so much more. And you remember way back when, I mean, a long time ago when I first started listening to the show before you got there, that's when I first started trying to figure out how to saltwater fish. And then since y'all come in and everything, and, man, you got James, Captain James and all them and Blaine, dude, you got your hunt. You got everything covered, and I really do appreciate it, man. Dude, I enjoy it. And a lot of the older veterans up here that I help out, you know, they listen to the show, you know, and they really do appreciate you because some of them live, you know, vicariously through you, but then other ones, they listen to what you're saying, and they go do what you do what you say, you know. I had my one buddy, Big John. He went fishing over there with Mike Jeffcoat. Next thing you know, I get a phone call, and he goes, and Big John goes, hey, talk to this guy, and it was Mike Jeffcoat. Like, he was all the way down there in Louisiana. But, man, we really do appreciate you, Cap.
Well, I'm just here, man. I like doing it. I enjoy this, and it's fun for me, and I hope it's fun for everybody else. And, you know, anything we can, any little tip. You know, and I have a great bunch of guys that I've known for years that I can call and I can trust for a very honest and reliable report. I mean, you hear them all the time. Hey, just like the hammer morning. Hey, 5 croakers yesterday. Never caught a keeper.
That's all you got. Hey, and when you call in, hey, we will not we being like I'm an employee with y'all, but I'm just saying us other fishermen, like you say, if you look at a man's hands, you know if he caught a bunch of reds and trout. You know, because he's going to be all scarred up. So,
well, from my end here, I can't see their hands, but I know that I can trust. I can trust their.
Oh, I know
their reports and.
Well, I'm,
you know,
I'm just talking about.
We got enough liars in this country. We don't need any on the outdoor show. I can tell you that. They're not going to happen.
I hear you. You know that's right. I know what you're talking about. Hey, anyway, I did have.
Did you hear about that sack of bass yesterday? Caught it raining.
Yes, sir. Hey, let me tell you what, that just floored me. I'm like, that's crazy.
Biggest 5-fish limit in Texas tournament history. 41 or something like that. 49 and change. That's unbelievable.
That's some pigs there, let me tell you. And I remember that time we was at with the Merritt Brothers with the fishing fools contest, and that dude pulled that 13-pounder plus up out of that live well and weighed it in, and then the Lunker program had already expired for that year, and we watched him. He released it back into Lake Conroe right there, so it went back in. So it was a good one. But, hey, on real quick, American Legion, last Friday night I put my first Guitar Dave Throwdown jam. It's just – no charge. You just come in, bring your instrument, and I'll be goddamn. I had 7 pickers come in and 1 fiddle player that he learned. He's been learning from Michael Wise, but he's about 70 years old, and he's been learning for like 8 or 9 years. But I learned from Michael 50 years ago how to play guitar. My cousin Robert, he learned how to play fiddle. So it's a small world, Cap Mickey, out there, and a lot of people listening to you, and we really enjoy it, man. I appreciate you, man.
Well, I enjoy it too, and it's fun for everybody.
I hear you.
Outdoor community, we're special people. A lot of good things go on, you know, through all.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I can't name them all the good things that happen all up and down this coast and on our area lakes, and a lot of charity work involved, and just all the good things that outdoors people are, you know, are responsible for. You know, they're sharing, giving people.
Well, that's kind of how I learned what I'm doing right now. Because, I mean, you know, back in, you know, we learned how to hunt, fish, plant corn, plant purple oil peas. You know, we were, you know, we had 72 acres back then.
Oh, anybody can plant corn. Yeah. Do you hear that on TV? Just
Hey, dude.
Throw some water on and it'll grow, man.
No. Hey, I got a nephew that's, I got a nephew in Smithville that studied 5 years at Sam Houston State University. He builds tractors now. Hey, they got GPSs, and then you know all the soil.
Foreman's more sophisticated than people think.
Hey, you just push the GPS. Once you get your plot over there, you just push the GPS, turn on Cap Mickey on the radio, and let it go, man. You know, you got air conditioning in there, too. So, man.
That's the kind of tractor I want to work off of.
Hey, he's got a bunch of Black Angus cattle out there, too, and I seen my two nephews. I don't know if you saw that on my Facebook, but they're standing there, and they're only, they can't even talk hardly yet, and they got these camouflage pants on with rubber boots and cowboy hats. And they're looking out there, and I could swear one of them's telling the other one, hey, you go get the horses, I'll go get the rope, like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. We're going to get these cows out here. But, hey, that's how we grew up, Cap Mick, milking cows, running cows, and had a horse. And, I mean, that's what, you know, these kids nowadays, hey, God bless them, but, man, if something happens, I know where to go and what to do. So.
Country boy can survive.
Yes,
all right,
sir.
Man.
Hey, I appreciate you, man. Hey, let me get out of here. I'm looking at this lot, and I don't want nothing happening in the hood this morning. So,
all right. Later, all man.
All right.
Take care. All right, now let's go down to Port O'Connor, and let's get a conversation struck up with old Captain Lynn Smith, shall we? I enjoy talking to him. Lynn, what's going on?
Well, I'm actually in George West, man.
Are you? What are you doing back up there? Y'all aren't through yet?
Well, we're through. We're through. We're loading up as we speak. We're loading up the last hunters and packing them up, man, and getting out of here. This is it. This is it for the season. And anyway, we had a good year, man. Killed some nice deer and management bucks and killed a few good trophies and the deer look good. We fill feeders. The last couple of days, we filled some good protein feeders and got them full. And I think the deer are going to be good this next year.
Awesome.
Promising. Yeah. So we saw some good bucks yet. But a lot of the deer are shaking their horns off, and we found a lot of good fresh sheds. So I think the next season looks pretty good.
Yeah, you told me the last time I talked to you, you had found some fresh sheds right then and there. I mean, it turns around quick,
mm-hmm.
doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It does.
We went from fighting to losing horns. Won't be much fighting going on now.
No, man, they're shaking them off. One of the guys, he watched the deer jump out of a feed pen, and his front legs hit the ground, and both his horns fell off. Yeah. So, it's happening, man. They're losing horns. It's kind of funny to watch them because he bucks. You know, you can see they've lost their horns, and they just got two nubs there, kind of bloody nubs. And another buck could be around there feeding around them. And boy, they're leery of those bucks with the horns, you know.
Right, I would be,
too. They
don't
want to get near them. Yeah.
It's like taking a knife to a gunfight.
Exactly. But now we're finishing up, and I'm heading home. And I'm ready to get on the water, man. Shoot. Been too long.
I talked to old Mike Smith earlier. He called in from up your way.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to go pop him a wade this morning, see if he'd catch him a few pencils to fry up.
There you go. Well, I'm going to try to get on the water this week and before the fishing show and try to make a wade or two. It's been way too long.
Yeah, it has.
But, it's time. I've been working on my boat. You know, in between deer hunts, you know, got my boat in shape, done a few things to it, and I'm ready to go.
What kind of boat you running now, Lynn?
I run a shallow sport, a 24-foot modified V.
You've been running them forever, hadn't you?
I have. I ran Pathfinders before that.
I remember when you had that Pathfinder.
Mm-hmm.
But
I had 10
shallow sports, they've been around a long time.
Oh yeah, I started off guiding with an 18 shallow sport, and then I went to the Pathfinder and I had 10 Pathfinders, and then I switched over to the shallow sport, and I've had real good luck with that boat. That boat will run in real shallow water.
Yeah, they will.
Even though it's a modified V, it does everything I would want to do.
Sure.
Plus, I've got a Yamaha show on it, 250 show,
right?
And I put a TRP lower unit on it.
Oh.
And man, I tell you what, it'll run and spit.
Four-wheel drive.
It is, man. It is. And I love it. I mean, it's not fast, you know, but I'm not a speed demon anyway.
No, we gave all that up years ago, man.
Absolutely.
I just want to get there and get back.
Me too. I heard they had an accident down there at Flower Bluff.
They did. It was real bad, man. Hey, let me do this last commercial break, and I'll come back and I'll tell you about it. I was down there right after it happened. I went and fished with Cliff, and man, you never want to hear about things like that. And it happened to a couple of really good guys, man. Everybody that loves and respects. But hang with me, Cliff. Yeah, let me get this commercial out of the way. I'll come back to you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 637 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back and talk some more with Captain Lynn Smith. All right, Lynn, we are back, buddy. Thanks for holding.
Good, man. You bet.
I caught you right on the tail end of that other segment. Yeah, they were they were testing a boat. It was down at the, you know, at Flower Bluff. They had that boat show thing, you know, that they have every year. And where we were waiting, it happened right out in front of there. Cliff was showing me what happened. And I think the boat went airborne, you know. They grabbed a big pocket of air under the bow, and it lifted off and at 88 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
Both guys were thrown out. You know, naturally the boat went over backwards, you know, like you see on TV in these boat races. And it, I mean, both of them are lucky they lived. I think Brett Carone, they let him out of the hospital last Sunday with a lot of back issues. And his buddy, and I can't remember his name because I've never met the guy. I don't know him. But he's a real nice guy. Everybody thinks a lot of him. And you know, with a head injury, you know, they pretty much the first doctor wrote him off, and another neurosurgeon apparently drilled a hole in his head, released blood, and they, you know, he's under. He was, at that time when I was down there, he was in a medical-induced coma. But it was, you know, it hits close to home.
Yeah.
You know, fellow guides, you know, and great people.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm surprised it's lasted this long. It took this long for an accident like this to wake everybody up, you know. These real fast boats, you know, 80-plus miles an hour, you don't need to run that fast. Go fishing. You really don't.
I don't think so either. That's just
It's crazy. You know, I've had customers out there, and you see one of those boats running 80 miles an hour across the bay throwing a rooster tail, and I've had customers go, why do they need to run that fast? I said, because they can, you know. And I tell them, I go, somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get killed.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Yep. I just hope it's not me. I hope they don't run over me.
You both, man. That's if I die from an incident like that, it won't be because I'm going that fast. I don't have anything to go that fast.
No, me either.
Man, I mostly tool around at anywhere from 30 to 35 miles an hour all the time.
Exactly. That's
maybe
me
40,
too.
41, and, you know, only time I ever really step in it, you know, trying to outrun a storm or something, or, you know, get back to the dock before the weather hits, that kind of deal, but.
Right, exactly.
Safety first, brother.
We get smarter with age, I think, you know.
I think you're right.
I think we do. And we get away from those storms a little earlier than most of these young boys do, too.
And the older I get, I know when I hurt myself, it takes a whole lot longer to recover, you know, from just little nagging little injuries and stuff like that. And when you everything I do now, I always think about the consequences if I go ahead and do something I shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put myself at risk because, you know, when you get our age, it just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It takes too much time to heal.
I think about this old lab I had, boy. He was he had real bad hips, and I took him on his last dove hunt, boy, and I mean, he was so fired up. He'd sit there just shaking, you know, he was so excited.
Yeah.
And he picked up a limit of doves, and oh, man, he was just gung-ho, you know. But it took him a week to get over it.
I remember the last year I hunted my old retriever, I had 1 year duck hunting. I would, every morning I'd get a can of Vienna sausage. He'd be so stove up, I'd have to lift him up in the truck so he could kennel up. And I would get a can of Vienna sausage, and I'd press two aspirins down in those weenies. And, boy, he'd gobble those up, and, buddy, we'd get to the gate, and he'd feel like $1 million. And he'd make it through that hunt. And then at the end of the hunt, man, he was just – he was an old man. You'd have to load him up.
Yeah, well, that's the way with that lab of mine. I got him back to the house. I had to lift him out of my truck. You know?
Oh, yeah, isn't that pitiful?
I had him in the back seat.
Oh, well, I hope somebody takes care of us like that when we get in that shape.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, isn't that the truth? Oh, man. Well,
you
we got to
think
keep
about
going.
It all the time, you know. What if something happens and you never get to fish again?
Oh, man. Don't even think about that.
I mean, I'd rather be dead. If they told me I could never fish again, I'd, you know.
Oh.
Life's
I'm
over.
I'm telling you.
You know, when you,
yeah.
You know, we crawl up in and out of all these deer stands and everything, crawling up these ladders, and, you know, one big fall like that, that's the end of it, man. We're messed up.
You know, when I moved to Houston, God knows how long ago that was, I never will forget, I started shooting skeet out on South Main out there.
I remember, man, you were into that big. Everybody said, man, Lynn Smith can swing a shotgun. Everybody used to brag on you.
Well, that was back in the younger days. You know, Lassie was a pup, you know. Moby Dick was a minnow. But anyway, I remember there was an old man out there, and he was a trap shooter. And he had a deer lease, and he and his buddies went hunting. And they dropped him off at a stand, and it had a straight-up ladder. And I remember he was climbing up that ladder. They took off, and there was frost on the ground. And he was climbing up that ladder, and his leg slipped through the ladder, and he fell backwards and broke his leg, compound fracture. And he hung there in that ladder until they came to pick him up.
My goodness.
With a compound fracture. He almost died, you know. He was lucky to be alive. So ever since that happened, when I drop people off at a stand, no matter whether it's a ladder or a staircase,
you wait on them
whatever,
to make sure they get in there, you bet.
I do. I wait till they get in the stand. Because you never know what can happen, you know.
No, you don't.
You never know.
You never know. I don't like those straight-up ladders on these blinds.
Oh,
they need
no.
to be angled. That way,
exactly.
If you're going up, you know, you got something to rest against when you're trying to save your gun slipping off your shoulder or something. You know, you can resituate. On those straight-up and down ladders, I mean, you're at the mercy of it, buddy. You got to watch it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I saw a guy climb up one of those straight ladders one day, and the door was open, and he reached up and grabbed that door, and when he swung it open, there was an owl in it, in the house that flew out right in his face, and he was lucky to hang on. He was real lucky. That
I had a big old rat jump on me one time crawling in one, and the only reason I didn't let go of that ladder because I was up too high. I knew better. I said, I'll take my chances with the rat.
Yeah, the ranch manager here, there's one stand had a mouse in it, and he didn't know it. He was sitting in the stand. He said he felt something on his shoulder, and he looked around, and this mouse was sitting on his shoulder.
He's wanting some cheese nibs, man. Get them out of your shell bag and feed that mouse.
I guess.
Oh, Lord.
You see all kind of stuff down here, boy.
Well, Lynn, I'm glad y'all are wrapping up. You had a good, successful season. And
we did.
I can't wait to see you at the fishing show. I'll come by and we'll shoot the breeze like we always do, brother.
We will, man. We'll compare pictures, man.
Yes, sir. Well, I don't have a lot of good photos this year, but – Well, I got a few of some of the deer Blaine's customers killed, but
I can imagine.
Personally, I don't have any, but I had my shot and it didn't work out. So,
well, it doesn't always work out.
No, it doesn't, but that's why we keep going back, because we love it.
That's right. That's right.
All right, brother. Well, hey, if somebody wants to call you and come down to Port O'Connor and make a wade with you, how do they get a hold of you, buddy?
Yes, sir, man. They can reach me at 361-935-6833.
All right. Well, Lynn, always a pleasure. I'll see you at the show, buddy.
All right, Mick.
All right, man.
Good.
Be safe.
Be looking for you, man. All right,
man.
Take
care.
Bye.
All right. That's Captain Lynn Smith down in Port O'Connor, wrapping her up in George West this morning, heading home for good for the year. All right, let's go down to Deep South Texas, and let's talk to our good friend Captain Blaine Friermuth and see how he's doing on the last day of quail season. Blaine, good morning.
Hey there, everybody.
Well, hello there. What's up, man?
We're wrapping her up down here in Hebbronville. We're getting things going. Half of them are going home with smiles on their faces, and some of them are still going out today. We're going to make one last day of it.
One last charge.
Having a pretty good time. Our truck, me and Wayne Webb and Mike Easley and Steve Duplantis from Baytown, we all probably average about 20 coveys a day, which is unbelievable for this time of year, the last weekend, and really hadn't been that great of weather either. It's been pretty dreary and cloudy down here, and that's
Steve,
not really that,
is that
good.
Is Bill Duplantis his father?
Yeah. Steve is Bill Duplantis' son.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And he Steve's about our age, and yours and mine, Plains age. Yeah, and they brought some other of their buddies down here, and there's five or six of them, and we've had a really big time. It's been good. They walk behind dogs,
right,
which is hard to do down here in the sand. But man, I don't know how many miles they walked in the past 3 days, but it's a bunch. Everybody's pretty pooped.
I bet.
Pretty tired. But it was good, man. We had a bunch of coveys and still had 15 to 20 birds in it. It's unbelievable. I don't know if it's coveys that have gotten back together, you know, and made one big covey again or what, but it's amazing. Of course, we really didn't hunt them that hard this year, but and another thing, we had way more quail than what we thought this year. So,
well, I saw that the first weekend I was down there when I came down early this year. I couldn't believe all the quail you had.
Yep. Well, if they carry on, if we just get some rain, all the rain that we've been getting in Baytown, if we just had a little bit of that here, we would be doing really well, but nothing. We still have not had any measurable rain since
Isn't
November.
Isn't that crazy?
Yep. Yep. But good time was had by all. They're all heading back to Baytown right now. And it's still cloudy. It warmed up during the night.
It did warm up, didn't it? Golly, it warmed up a lot.
Yeah. When we finished supper last night, it was still cold. And, man, I came out this morning, it's 60-something degrees.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. But, We're still going to do a few more hog hunts, Mickey. And if anybody's listening on the radio show today, if anybody you know has thermals or night vision or whatever, we need some guys down here to hunt hogs. We've got a severe problem, but they're so smart, they won't come out during the daylight hours. So you got to hunt them at night. And it's not just that. We got a lot of coyotes, too, and, you know, other things, too, to shoot. But we'll make people good deals to come down here and help us get rid of these hogs.
They would love to come down and exercise their shooting skills at night.
Well, you know how everybody's buying this stuff now, this night stuff, and it's, you know, because it's, you know, it's getting pretty popular. And if anybody's looking for a place that they can go, we've got 10,000 acres that needs to eliminate hogs. And, of course, they'll have to be guided because nobody knows where anything's at. But once we show them an area, they can probably do it on their own. But we'll wind and dine them, you know. We'll have cooks here and have everything going for them, and all they need to do is just get their equipment down here and shoot something.
I know that. The food is good and the beer is cold.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, and we'll cater to them. But, you know, it's I don't know how these hogs have got so smart, but they have. I guess just because we've been out there every day, you know, and we have this, you know.
Well, they become accustomed to your schedule, yeah.
Yeah. But James Shirley came down, and he trapped six. And we've got 12 traps, 12 hog traps, and they got six hogs, and all them were youngsters that didn't know any better than to go into a trap. But
dummies.
We got some giants. You saw one of them. There's a 400-pounder out there that's digging holes the size of Volkswagens right now.
That's the biggest hog on the hoof live that I've ever seen. And, I mean, it's when I first saw it out of the corner of my eye, I thought it was a cow walking out, you know, like a calf. And I looked down there, and I said, oh, my goodness.
I don't know how you age hogs, Mickey, but there's somebody probably knows, but we got a bunch of them that are 300 to 400 pounds, and they're just too smart. They know everything about us. They're way smarter than a deer.
Big old boars.
And I don't know how many pounds of corn those guys have eaten, but it's a lot.
Somebody popped a 468-pound boar in Liberty County the other day.
Wow. Well, we got them out here, but it's, like I said, it's a nighttime deal. So, we got lots of things left to do down here, but I'm pretty much done. I'm ready to start fishing.
You got to be exhausted. You got to be totally worn out.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just, I want some bad weather down here. I want some rain down here. I know what it needs for us to look for next year, our upcoming season. It hurry up. It needs to hurry up. It's just nothing but sand down here right now. And we had that little sprinkle 3 or 4 days ago, and even the little tiny green shoots are coming out of the ground, but that's not enough ground moisture to make stuff grow.
No. You know,
spring flowers and all that stuff. We need that. We need about a 2-incher right now, and that'll get things going good.
Well, but maybe it'll happen for you.
Yeah, it is what it is. But I hear we have enough.
You need to get your butt back to town. Me and you need to do some fishing together.
We need to do some scouting.
That's it.
I'm ready to put a few fish in the freezer, too, if it's possible.
Well, you can have all we catch.
Okay.
I'll donate to the Fryer Mood Box.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you what. I ate some Laguna Madre trout. We killed 4 in 2 days that we gill hooked, and I kept them and filleted them, brought them home. Oh, my goodness. I cooked them the other night, and that was you talk about a good eating fish. Jeez.
Pristine, salty, clear water.
Yeah.
Makes a difference.
It does. It does.
Yeah. Well, are any of our guys catching fish this week, or is it?
It's been a little hit and miss. You know, it's been a little iffy. You know, a few caught fish, but a lot of people didn't even go.
Yeah. Well, a lot of these guys were wanting to go on Tuesday, and I said, you better check the weather. Looked like we got another big cold front coming in.
South winds at 25 ahead of that next front, so.
Yep.
Warm and windy.
Well, I'm going to stay down here a couple of days, Mickey, and finish up, clean up.
Well, call me when you're on the way home, and we'll get hooked up. We'll go fishing one day when you get home and do a little scout and see if we can get some kind of spring pattern going.
Keep your eyes and ears open for some hog hunters, man. I'm telling you,
I'll sure do her, Blaine. If somebody wants to call you, if they're interested in that, give them a number, man.
Well, they can call me at 713-703-6656. Thank you. All right.
Call me when you get in. We'll get together.
Okay. See you.
Later, bud. All right. That's Captain Blaine Fryermood down in South Texas. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. Appreciate everybody tuning in on Open Line Fun Sunday. And we'll see you next week, Thursday morning at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.